and it's to each one of you individually. Here it is. You are loved. Hallelujah. I want you to know, regardless of what religion tells you, you're God's hope in the earth. He's depending on you, and the Son of the living God is making intercession for you. And He that opens the eyes of the blind is praying that the eyes of our understanding be opened today, that we can see into our inheritance and the glory and the riches of it, that we no more walk as beaten down, trodden under, forsaken something or other, but we're sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The devil trembles that you find that out. The devil trembles that you find out who you are. His kingdom has been brought to nothing. Religion has shackled His people, but we're shaking off those chains. We're lifting up that blood-stained banner that says Jesus is Lord. For He is Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You are loved. Instead of condemning you, He that lives forever today, right now, is making intercession for you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want you to know right now, the blood is enough. He told me already. Listen, no one in this room deserves hell more than Gary Cardner. I'm telling you, I know that more, better than you do. There's no point you trying to point out my faults. I know me better than you. No one in this room deserves hell more than me on my own merit. Now, I know that. Before and since I got saved. But I want you to know I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And I'm telling you why I'm going to heaven. One reason and one reason only. Well, it's because you're obedient. It's because of this. It's the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. That's it. That's all my righteousness right there. That's it. That's all I have, but it's all I need. And I want you to know, if He told Peter, you forgive 70 times 7. If Jesus says he wants that level of forgiveness in a human, how much forgiveness is in that blood? And the Holy Spirit told me, He says, because I mean, sometimes I get so down on myself, I get so disgusted with myself and my performance, that I think, God, I don't even want to go pray anymore. I just feel like such a worm, you know? And the Holy Spirit told me, He says, son, as long as you don't give up on that blood, I'll never give up on you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are God's beloved. You are His elect. You're His hope in the earth. Shake off that religion. Rise up. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Go forth in Jesus' name and lay waste to the enemy's camp. Let's bring the captives home. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're His elect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the fire in my belly this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I got so blessed watching this brother last night. He couldn't take it. I can't do it like you. Every now and then he'd go, I'm pasty white. I can't do it like you. But he'd go, whoa! You know, whoa! He just couldn't take it. I'm just having a good time, you know. Let's all do it. Whoa! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Well, be seated if you can. Thank y'all. We better get into it. Well, I don't even need to ask you if you're having a good time. I've been watching you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And before we get started, Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never done this before. And the reason only reason I did it this morning, I've just put these out for you to see. In my meditation time, communing with the Lord this morning, reviewing what was said yesterday and then what He's given me to say today, it dawned on me. Let me just ask this question first. How many of you are currently on my mailing list, Gary Carpenter mailing list? Okay, probably roughly half. So that's what the Lord was telling me. He's saying, because they say, I'm speaking to you people like adults. Amen. Trying to. And there's no way that in four services, you know, I could even begin to touch the things that the Lord has really taught over these last several years when it comes to kingdom finances, stewarding the pound, provision versus stewardship. Now, see, many of you are looking at me like, yes, we know what you're talking about, Gary. And others are looking at me like, what? What? And I made some statements yesterday that just assumed pretty much that you had heard a lot of these things. And then I found out in conversations with some pastors later, I could tell from their questions, if the pastors had these questions, where are the sheep? So I want to let you know, I'm still going to talk with you. I'm not even going to begin because I couldn't possibly even scratch the surface of these things. It's taken years to pray these revelations out. Now, first off, you need to understand this. There is absolutely no competition whatsoever between Gary Carpenter Ministries and Dave Roberson Ministries. This is how we work, just like this. In fact, they bear more the expenses of what I do than I do. At this point, they're doing the duplications, they're doing the mailing. So many of you will know when you send offerings into Gary Carpenter Ministries, those of you that do, and thank God you do. I mean, everything's free that we do, because the Lord gave me this instruction. He says you give everything freely, even when you go minister. Those of you that where we've come, you know, we don't take up offerings ourselves. We just leave it. If God moves on the pastor to do so, that's fine. If He doesn't, that's fine also. Gary, how can you do that? Because I work for a rich Jew. My boss can afford to do whatever he wants me to do. I don't pay the bills around here anyway. He just uses my arm to sign the checks. That's it. Okay? Now, so I want you to... But we do have... There's a separate mailing list. If you want to know these things... Now, and we have some cards on the table back there. It just says Gary Carpenter mailing list. Fill that out. The first thing you'll get is a tape catalog and that lists what we have, and there's an order form on the back. Just send it, check off what you want, send it in. Now, since everything's free, I make you an ironclad guarantee. If you don't like the tapes, we'll give you your money back. How are you going to lose on a deal like that, okay? But they're absolutely free. The instructions He gave me, He says, you just do what I told you the way I told you. And the Lord told me, He says, I'll speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the needs of the ministry. And He's been doing that for quite a few years. I was going to tell you, those of you that do send in, Sue and I live on a set provision according to these principles that are outlined in these tapes. Above that goes into the kingdom anyway. Most of it to Dave Roberson Ministries. Not only to help offset the cost of what they do for us in the tapes and the mailing, but then also to get Dave's message out, because it's come to maturity. Amen? So, freely, if you want these. Now, the first thing that you'll get if you don't understand these principles, when the tape catalog comes, the first page, it's what I call FS1, or the Financial Series Package. And if you sign up for that, you get one series a month. See these right here? You get them in this sequence. And the reason it's important, you're welcome to come up and look at them. Ladies, what tapes? Well, they're down on this step here. Listen to them in this sequence. I had no idea the Lord was doing this at the time, but this is the order. This is the seek. You know, the best teaching is line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Well, as He would teach me these things, then I would teach them here or various places. And so if you listen to them in the same sequence, every series builds on the revelation in the previous one. And step by step, brick by brick, your walls of revelation knowledge, you know, will be built. And eventually the Lord can put a ceiling or a roof And those questions you've wondered for 1,000 years, like, how really do I prosper? That roof question, He wants to answer that for you more than you want to know it. But it's hard to put a roof on where there's no walls. Let Him build the walls, series by series. You say, well, I want them faster than once a month. Oh, those itching ears again. And the reason I say that is this. Listen, let me tell you something. This is not baby food. And it's going to take you just this first one. This is called the Houston Kingdom Finance Seminar. It's the first series I ever did. It's got four of my lessons in it, four of my messages, and two by this up-and-coming young pastor named LaRue Atkinson. The title of his two is called The Destruction of Tyre. If you've not heard that tape, you've missed half your life. The other one is Wisdom's Seven Pillars. Just the revelation that's in here, just that series, you may hear them. Each tape is roughly 90 minutes long, so, you know, 6 times 90 minutes, however much time that is. You might could listen to it for 2 or 3 days in your car or whatever. It's going to take you a lot longer to transform to it. See, it's not the hearer of the word. It's the doer. And then you're just going to, you know, send in your prayer request after you hear the widow's mite. That one's in the second series. And then when we get to a sowing and reaping, you know, when we get a phone call and all we can hear is moaning and intercession and you can't get your name out, you know, we'll just know that you heard that tape and we'll go into intercession for you. There's a lot to learn. There's more after these 5 already available. But get this set first. This will build the foundation. And I also put up the handouts, by the way, that we've mentioned, Smith Wigglesworth Standard and the Confessions for the Prayer Center. They're on the table. And I wanted you to see the book because I'm hoping that those confessions back there make you hungry. This is what the book looks like that those are taken out of. The Wigglesworth Standard. It's published by Whitaker House. Author is P.J. Madden. That's what it looks like. So in case you want to get one when you get back home, probably every good Christian bookstore would have this. I highly recommend it. But anyway, I wanted you to see what's available. End of commercial. Beginning of lesson. Open again to Matthew 13 and Ephesians 1. How much review are you going to do today? None. Other than these two verses. We don't have time. Thank God for tapes. And again, I'm going to speak to you. So don't, if you hear me say things that are completely foreign to your ears, now, it's going to sound like I'm teaching on kingdom finances this morning, but I'm not. I'm teaching on how to hear the voice of God. But with my call, it's really hard for me to separate anything. It's hard for me to speak on much of anything without kingdom finances involved. Because I was just like a lot of you. I had been down every rabbit trail out there. I'd already been down the 100-fold return route. I'd already been down the Isaac sowed in famine route. I'd already given my tithes to open the windows of heaven and pushed a big offering through there to determine the size of my offering. And a lot of you are sitting there going, well, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. You need these tapes. Because finally I had to abandon all formulas. See, I'm an engineer by training. I'm the guy they call when stuff won't work. My job is to make it work. Well, not only in my life, but in everybody I knew. See, I don't find, when I travel and meet people that really love the Lord like you, I don't find people that are trying to figure out ways to give less money to God. When I sit down with them, that's not the kind of conversations that they have with me. Everywhere I go, they're trying to figure out how to give more money to God. And so I knew that was their heart, but yet, somehow the manifestation, we all just barely got our nose above water financially, seems like. And Hollywood's got the money to turn out all the filth they want. Something's not right. Who is Lord here? You know, who is Lord? Touched on that a little bit yesterday. So I had to abandon all formulas. I turned off Christian TV. I quit reading books. And I started reading this book. And I started doing it the way Dave taught me. Meditation. Whole subjects. Then later when he started teaching assimilation, whole books. And then when he started teaching assimilation even harder, the New Testament. Assimilating the New Testament. Okay? Well, and in thousands of hours, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of hours praying in other tongues. And that brings us up to these two verses. Just like Pastor Dave says, now, it's really hard for the Holy Spirit to teach you if you don't do your part in meditating the Word and meditating it correctly. But if you do that, and then neglect the gift of praying in other tongues. See, just like Dave says, praying in other tongues is a revelation gift. He's come to explain all those mysteries of the gospel to you in a way that you can personally understand it. He used an elm tree to teach me faith, which we don't even have time to touch on. But he might use a boat engine to teach you. I don't know what he'll use. But whatever your experience is and whatever your... He knows your whole life. He knows everything about you. He knows how to get it across to you in a way you can understand it. So then I started praying those long hours in other tongues, and my flesh didn't like it any better than your flesh does. But I started liking it better when the understanding started coming. I started writing them down. Sure enough, the Bible wasn't as crazy as it sounds. It's different. It's not like the world. But it makes perfect sense. And there's no contradictions in it. And I'm still learning. Got a lot more to learn. See, because if you don't have the Word in you... Well, let me ask you this. When you went to school, didn't they give you a book and a teacher? Who do you think they got that from? They got that from God. He's given us a book, and He's given us a teacher. And it's not Dave Roberson, really, and it's not Gary Carpenter, either. We're sub-teachers. Basically, what we come to do is point you to the book and to the teacher. And we give you examples of like what the teacher and the book have taught us to whet your appetite and hopefully make you hungry enough to get in the closet yourself. That's what we do. Okay? I'm not your teacher, neither's Dave, really. We're instructors, maybe, or something. I don't know. Jesus said, you only have one teacher. I'm sending you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and He will guide you into all truth. All right? So it's the understanding. I failed trigonometry 3 times. Y'all might as well know that. Made me so mad I became an engineer. I don't like to be whooped by anything. You know? So I've gone so far into math now, it's beyond anything I'd ever need. But before I got out of engineering, and that's been 30 years since I graduated. I'm a little rusty. But with a little practice, we can discuss differential equations if you want to. Integral calculus. Quantum physics, I had a little bit. I know enough about it to talk about it with you. You know? In other words, math was going to whip me. Not likely. You strike a nub, you come against me. I don't have no quitting sense. My favorite movie is Cool Hand Luke. How many of you saw that movie? Remember when he got in that fight? And the guy he was fighting was like twice as big as him? And the guy could easily, you know, he just pummeled old Paul Newman, was the star in that movie. Just kept beating it. But the thing about Newman, he wouldn't quit. He wouldn't quit. And finally, the other guy quit. See? I love that song that there's a reason why Dave does everything. You don't ever take anything lightly that Dave says to you, even if you think it's a joke. Why do you think he's having, I can't think of the man's name. Ron, thank you. Sing that song, "It's Not Over Till I Win." Boy, if you ever heard God in your life, it's not over till you win. Told you the Lord Himself is making intercession for you. Let's go on here. Lord, don't be hanging no cloth over it either. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom I'm sorry, I never told you the verse, did I? Matthew 13:19. Now see, normally when we teach, again, when we teach the parable of the sower, we normally do it out of Mark 4. But Matthew added a little more flavor, a little different, some things that aren't in Mark. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that's the point, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. When does he come? When you understand it not. If you don't understand it, the wicked one comes and he catches away that which was sown in your heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. We talk real plain down there. Grass is green, the sky is blue, okay? I like it simple. God intends for you to understand every verse in the New Testament. Is that plain enough for you? Well, you said yes, real weak. Because if you don't, the devil's going to steal it from you. You've got to not only hear it, know it, you've got to understand it. And that is exactly why he sent the Holy Ghost. To teach you and guide us all into all truth. You notice he said all truth. I only want to know about my righteousness. No, you need to know all truth. I'm in a deliverance ministry. I only want to know about casting out devils. Honey, you need to know all truth. And you can know all truth. That's why he sent him. What part of the New Testament is the Holy Ghost going to withhold from you? Nothing. He wants us to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Walk like he walked. Talk like he talked. Have the same anointing he had. Destroy the works of the devil just like he did. Well, boy, for that to start happening, the church has got quite a bit of changing to do. Wouldn't you agree? It is funny. It'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. Yeah. Now, did I tell you go to Ephesians 1? Keep them pinched. Now, don't lose Matthew 13. Keep them pinched together for a minute. In Ephesians 1, we're going to read verses 17 and 18. Now, we just saw in Matthew that if you don't understand the word, the devil's going to steal that part from you. Yes, sir. Verses 17 and 18, Ephesians 1. Now notice how this picks up, how Paul's prayer corresponds with what the Lord said in Matthew. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul's number one prayer was that you understand the word. Why? Why is it so important? So that you can know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have such a vast inheritance, and our understanding is so minuscule, we're not enjoying hardly any of it. And I think the real tears when we stand before him that he's going to have to wipe away is when he shows us what all he gave us and how little we walked in. And why is that? Why? What will we say? I didn't understand. I didn't understand. Well, you listen to Dave's tapes, get these tapes, your understanding. See, the Holy Ghost will still have to make it real in you. You ever tried to live on another man's faith? I tried to live on Hagin's faith for years. What do you mean by that, Gary? I'd listened to his tapes. I devoured his tapes, and that's a good thing to do. See, it is. But I didn't do what he did. I didn't really know. I knew he knew God. I knew God did miracles in his life. I knew he had faith. That encouraged me. that somebody could have it. But see, the difference was he knew the Lord and I didn't know the Lord. I was saved, but I did not know him very well at all. Now once you go through these tapes here and you go through Dave's, and you let the Holy Spirit begin teaching you himself in a way that you personally understand it. You just let somebody, I don't care how many PhDs they have behind their name. I don't care how many degrees, I don't care how many television stations they're on. It makes me no difference whatsoever. Like for me at this point, for anybody to come and tell me my father has cursed me for any reason. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm his favorite. I'm my father's pet. I am. So are you. You don't know my, you know, for somebody to stand there and tell me that, bring me some law out of the Old Testament and tell me I'm still under it, after the price that Jesus paid to set me free from it, and put a nature in my heart that keeps it by instinct, if you will, born in me. You don't have to tell me not to steal from you. My heart tells me not to steal from you. Hallelujah. Understanding is what this is all about. Okay. Here we go. You ready? Fasten your seat belts. And if I say some things now that again, sound foreign, get the tapes. Okay. I don't have time. Believe me. See all those tapes? What if I just tried to review? We don't have time, do we? Here we go. I'm going to talk to you like you know something. Doggone. Me too. Now we're going to talk about hearing God. That's really what it's about. But I can't hardly do it. Again, it's going to sound like I'm teaching on finances. I'm not. Okay? Now watch this. In fact, what I'm going to tell you now, really I'm drawing from kingdom finances, the born-again trail, those of you that's heard of it, provision versus stewardship. Here's a word for you, budgeting, praying in tongues, fasting and meditation. I'm drawing from all of those to give you what you're about to get. And my prayer to God is it comes down so simple that the wayfaring fool cannot misunderstand it. Okay? That includes me. Let me tell you this. God is not calling the body today to have more itching ears. He's calling us to grow up. Become mature sons, put away the prosperity toys, and get about the kingdom's business, which is souls, in every possible way. Grow up. Say, I don't know what my calling is. Get in the prayer closet, you flaky thing. And quit reading books and filling out those little personality forms in there. Well, you know, I have a temper, therefore I must be like a prophet. Oh, give me a break. My dog has a temper and it's not a prophet. How do you find out your call? You go to the master until he tells you. And if you're faithful in that call, he'll promote you to something more. I believe he'd like to have a church of apostles. Hallelujah. Tim, I don't know. God did something to me last night. Last night was a night of visions and dreams. And you know what? I woke up this morning. I had a vision right in front of me. I don't know when I woke up. I don't know when the dream ended and the vision, and it became a vision. I guess a vision's when you're awake, isn't it? But here's what it was. I can tell you this. I saw myself as a blind man with the Lord passing by. And I was just like this, and I was going, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. And he stopped and he says, what is it you'd have me do? My eyes were white. And I said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. That I may receive my sight. And then I knew he was talking about this verse. It's where the whole church is. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we may see our inheritance. Open the eyes of our understanding. Tim asked me a question a few weeks ago, and I know the answer. He says, how do you cause the blind to see? There it is. That's our prayer. Only the Lord can do it. But He does it by the Holy Spirit that He sent. He is the teacher. Anyway, here we go. I said that already, didn't I? All right. For years, and I hesitate to say this because I know when I say it, somebody in here is going, when I say this, somebody's going to go, what's wrong with that? Get these tapes. Write me hate mail afterwards. I don't care. I got thick skin. It's all right. I just put them in the trash anyway. As soon as I see what it is, it just goes in the trash. You can't change me. I've already been taught. I love you anyhow, you know. And I'll send you more tapes. All right, here we go. It's hard for me to say this. I'm trying to think what I would have thought if I'd have heard this before this. Anyway, for years, I'm going to look this way. For years, we all thought that the way to prosper was by our giving. And we gave and we gave and we gave. But for the most part, most of us remained in financial difficulty. See, this is what launched me into my seeking that question. Because the question is why? It sounds so good the way it's taught everywhere. Christian TV, Christian books, and they back it up with a lot of scriptures taken out of context, mostly out of the law. But they take some out of the New Testament and lift them out of their setting and back up what they're saying, to harvest the sheep. And let's just tell it like it is. But for the most part, the sheep are not prospering. And that's why the gospel of the kingdom of God is being preached with bake sales and garage sales. But yet Hollywood has the money to crank out all the filth they want, and I can't stand that. Something's bad wrong. Because Jesus is Lord, and I mean Jesus is Lord over finance. The earth is His. The fullness thereof is His. The silver is His. The gold is His. And it belongs to the body, those that are serving Him. But we've been so religiously brainwashed, we have no idea how to tap into that inheritance. Therefore, we just swallow like little birds at feeding time. We just swallow any worms drop down our throat. Told you thought I was going to teach about finances, but I'm not. You'll see here in a minute. Now see, one reason that we fell for that, your prosperity hinges on your giving, and again, I know some of you are going, doesn't it? Get the tapes. Why did we fall for that? Well, number one, we couldn't hear the Lord tell us otherwise. And why? Why is that? See, we thought the problem was not enough money. I'm not talking about the kingdom now. I'm talking about your home. See, because one reason that you sow, you want the Lord's blessings. We all want the Lord's blessings. I understand that. You need money, don't you? It's not just the kingdom needs money. You need money in your home, see? And I know most of us are struggling. So I couldn't figure this out, you know. So, you know, what do you do when you can't figure stuff out? You read the book, you pray, you go spend time with the teacher till he starts showing up and teaching you stuff. Well, see, we kept thinking the problem was not money. I mean, it was not enough money. So we were easy prey for any type of message that said, here's how you can get more money. Your problem is you don't have enough money. That's what we thought the problem was. We don't have enough money. How many of you right now, if I asked you that, could you use some more money? Well, sure, hands go up, you know. And see, we thought that was the problem. So when they would give us a formula that the end result of it was you'll get a harvest, however you want to phrase it. You'll get a, you know, the Lord will bless you. He'll open the windows of heaven for you. There'll be more blessings than you know what to do with. Well, we fell prey to that because we thought the problem was not enough money. That was never the problem at all. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what your situation, what your house is like, what your ministry is like, or what your church is like. I can assure you, on the authority of the blood of Jesus, lack is not your problem. Because there is no lack. Gary, how can you say a thing like that? Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Well now, if He bore your lack already and substituted His unending, just limitless wealth, gave you complete access to it, then how can you sit there and tell me lack is your problem? Now the problem is, how is it you have no faith? But there was some problems. I mean, the Lord, He loves us, doesn't He? Does He love it? And He loves us enough not to leave us like we are, doesn't He? Now we're getting into the hearing His voice part. See, because what we wanted to hear with our itching ears was how to get more money. And we wanted to do it. We wanted somebody to tell us how to do it righteously. So we listened to the teachers. But the problem was, that wasn't the problem. Lack is not the problem. You want to know what the Lord... If we could have heard the Lord, and I'll show you how I came to know this. If we could have heard Him, really hear the voice of the Lord, you know what He would have said was the problem? And I'm looking this way now. In a word, it's lasciviousness. Now see, most of us in America, when we hear that word, we think of sexual sin. That's not what lascivious means. Lascivious means no restraint. Last year, Michael Tucker... Michael, are you here? He's probably at work. Michael Tucker taught what I can... Now, I am an industrial engineer. I've worked for major corporations. I've been through all kinds of budgeting and stewarding classes. They don't call it stewarding, but management-type classes where they teach you how to handle finances. I'm telling you, hands down, when Michael Tucker taught that course on budgeting, I think the title that we're putting on it is Stewarding Your Provision. It's hands down the best I've ever heard. And it builds a scriptural foundation for you that is unparalleled. And it'll be available soon through the prayer center. But when he taught that course, and these were people that had already, for the most part, because I taught many of these messages here, for the most part, they had already heard these messages that we're talking about on stewarding your provision, the difference between provision versus the pound and that kind of thing. Well, they wanted to come to the course because they wanted to become better stewards financially for the Lord. How many of y'all would like to be better stewards financially for the Lord? Well, sure. So, with great enthusiasm, I don't know if we took a head count. I came to as many as the classes as I could with my schedule. But I think we had better than 100 people there that first day. Boy, I mean, it was enthusiastic. And the first two or three sessions was really not into the technical aspects of budgeting. It was in... Michael was laying a scriptural foundation from the Word for what we were doing. And people were really excited about that and going, yes. Because hope, you know, when you hear the Word, faith comes. Faith paints an image of hope in you. And they're going, yeah, I'm going to get control of my finances. I'm tired of money telling me what I can do and what I can't do. I'm going to start getting control of this thing, bless God. And that's because Michael's laying a foundation from the Word. And boy, I'm just watching it week by week. You know, faith and hope is building in the people. And then he got into budgeting. He got into the nuts and bolts and had people start going home and he gave them some forms and how to fill out their bills and credit card debt and comparing that with their income and started going through the actual mechanics of how to start budgeting. And being a minister and knowing that, you know, I don't share information, personal information, you know. Many of them, when they started seeing the vastness of the dilemma they were in, You know, you start laying it out on paper. Some of them approached me. Before it was over, I mean, I'd always keep a good face while I was there with them. And then when they left, I said, God, I don't even know if you can help these people. And it was the same problem. What's interesting, it was the same. It didn't make any difference if they were making $300 a week or $5,000 a week. To a person. Now, you ought to write this down. I didn't look the verse up. There is a verse. When the soldiers came and asked John the Baptist, what should we do? The Roman soldiers? One of the things he told them. And many of you would be good to make a poster out of this. Print it out, write it out, tape it on your bathroom mirror, because I know you look there several times a day. You know. Anytime I really want to change, that's where I put something, you know. It really works for Brad. You know. Mr. Adornophobia, I would tell him I said that. If we want to change Brad, we just post one of these on his bathroom mirror. We know he'll see it many times a day. Anyway, what John the Baptist told those soldiers was this. He says, oh, you want to know God's will for you? Here it is. Be content with your wages. Be content with your wages. Well, I can assure you, John was not talking to Americans. What I saw, and again, it didn't make any difference. I started getting a clue that more money is not really the answer. Make any difference whether these people made $200 a week or $5,000 a week to a man, practically, or to a woman, to, almost without fail. When it really came out on paper, not only were... Now, it's not that they were giving to God. Most of them were, you know, giving what they could. Okay? In most cases, 10%, less than 10%, somewhere in that ballpark. Most of them were trying. Some of them, none. But the problem really was this. They were living right up. They were consuming virtually everything that they earned on their wages. Then most of them had gone into debt, sold their life. Now that's what debt is. Every time you do that, you sell your life. For 3-4 years, 5-6 years, for a car. Most of them, and I'm not saying not to do that yet. I'm outlining the problem. Then on top of that, most of them had a mortgage. Okay. But the worst part, their wages are all consumed on those things pretty much. Then in debt beyond their wages for a car. Beyond their wages really for a house. And then beyond their wages on credit cards. In other words, most of them are using credit card debt as if it extended their available income. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, without a miraculous, no wonder they have itching ears to hear messages on how God's going to make me rich so I can get rid of this mess. But the problem, the reason you're in the mess, if God was to show up, if Jesus came on that white stallion with the golden wallet, and if he came riding up to your house with the golden wallet, I have come, my child, in answer to your prayers. And I'm going to, how much do you owe Visa? Wicka, 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 out of the magic golden wallet. Off goes the money to pay off Visa, and does the same with MasterCard and your car loan and all those debts. And he just puts you right back to even, and you have no bills at all. It won't be a year. You'll be looking for that white stallion again. Because the problem never was more money. The problem is no restraint. When Michael got about to the middle of that course on budgeting, and he started getting into that kind of thing, and he used an example. Those of you that get the course, he just made this imaginary couple named Herman and Flo. Herman and Flo. Typical people. And Herman, I mean, and it wasn't that Herman didn't make pretty good money. He did in this example. But after you laid it all out, pretty much like I just described, you know, the bills and the debts and the car payment and all of that. And the problem was, at that moment, Herman was a tither. Once it was laid out, you found out they were actually had a negative cash flow every month. Further into debt every month. They didn't even realize it. And not only that, it had gotten so bad, now they were behind on some of their payments. But let me tell you right now, if you're actually behind on a payment, now I'm not talking about you're still in debt. If you're current on your payments, that's one thing. But if you're actually behind on your payments, where you put your word on the line to somebody, I will pay you, and you take that money that you promised to give them, and you put that money in an offering bucket, that is a stolen offering. You ought to read Malachi chapter 1 if you want to know what God thinks about that. And if He blesses anybody, He'll bless the man you stole it from. Gary, I thought you was going to talk about hearing God. Oh, trust me. I am talking about hearing God. You'll find out here in a minute. Now see, what part of you got born again? We are spirits, aren't we? Born again with a righteous nature on the inside. And you've heard Hagin teach, and you've heard Pastor Dave teach, some of you heard me teach. The number one way that God communicates with His children is by the inner witness. Well, I like the way Hagin says it. You can't improve on it. See, that inner witness, Hagin says it this way. He says, the conscience is the voice of the new nature. Your conscience is the voice of your new nature. That is the inner witness. And it's the number one way God communicates with all of us. Now, have you got that whole scenario that I've been talking about in your mind? Okay, we thought the problem was more money. That's why we went and listened to teachers to teach us how to get more. Even if it meant, it's odd how we got more money by giving money to them. But anyway. Anyway. I'm not delivered from sarcasm. I can't help it, Tim. I went to Tim's meeting, and every time he started to say something like that, see, the Spirit's worked enough death in him, he would stop himself. I'm not that dead yet. But anyway, that's why we listen to it. But do you know, if we would have gotten quiet and listened to the voice of our conscience, and see, right now, even when I say this, every one of you is going to say, oh yeah, I did hear a voice like that. It's going to say things like, you sure you need another bass boat? Are you really sure you need a television in every bedroom? It's going to start talking to you about, and it says, and haven't I been talking to you about those chocolate eclairs? Hey, at least I said this after you had the donuts. See, that's the voice that we don't like to listen to. And because we won't hearken to that voice, see, here's another thing if you'd really get in there. How do you know this? Get these tapes. Because I'm just like you. I was so into all, when I say I was in, been down all those rabbit trails, I mean, I've been down. Amen. Now, Tim knows I don't really do anything halfway. If you're going to do something, let's do it, bless God. So when they told me I could get 100-fold return on my giving, on the way home from the first time I ever heard it, which I know right where I heard it, I know when I heard it. I'm not going to even mention the ministry I heard it through. On the way home from that meeting, didn't wait till the next day, on the way home, I stopped by Burkhart's Forms over here in Tulsa, and I bought me an accountant's ledger. Because I'm figuring, well, if they say, if that's the truth, and God will give me 100 times everything I put into the gospel,
I want to know how much I got coming. This stuff's real or it's not real. Well, man, I got real excited. I bought me an accountant's ledger, got my pencil all sharpened up, went through my checkbook for the last year. I figured, hey, that stuff's on account. In fact, they told me it was. So I started. I gave $100, 100 times. Glory to God. You know, those numbers start adding up pretty quick. You know? And I'm going, I mean, it didn't take very long at all. I found out, I got more than $1 million coming to me. Boy, was I excited. And I started doing everything they told me to do. I started reminding God of how much money He owed me because of my works. Oh, that blood. Oh, thank you for that blood, Master. His mercy endureth forever, and it's a good thing. Can you just see me standing there with my accountant's ledger? You owe me $1 million. You owe me $1 million. Look here. You owe me $1 million. I'm going to buy me a bass boat and a car and a Dodge Ram pickup. Where was my heart? Souls? His kingdom? My kingdom. Now we found the real problem. I'm pretty sure there's a verse in the Bible that says something like, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, there was a little voice in there. He loved me so much. He knew I was a little child with a baby bottle stuck in my mouth, and He had to change my diapers 10 times a day. I mean, here I'm, wah, I want my milk. I want my million. Wah. And God comes over and, okay, you know, change the diaper, give him a new bottle. Here, put on another Dave tape, you know. I want my million. You know, here I am, see. And my whole thinking was sowing and reaping and all that same stuff that you're thinking. And then I finally started, you know, I mean, I continued to pray and do the message, like I said yesterday, do the message. And then finally I started actually hearing the voice of God. And it would say things like, you know, strange things like, you're an heir. What? Where'd that come from? An heir? Yeah, but I prosper by my work, so I'm giving more. And every now and then I get quiet enough, and that voice would come and say, He bore your poverty. What? Where'd that come from? Now I need to hear another prosperity tape. See? And all the while, He was trying to talk to me like He was really my Father, and like I'm really His Son, and like Jesus really did pay the price, and there's nothing I can do to earn it, and that Jesus was not a liar, and that really, if I do need anything whatsoever I ask the Father in His name, He will give it unto me. You know, I'm an heir with unlimited resources. There is no lack to those that fear Him. There is no lack. Y'all getting where I'm coming from? That budgeting class, people don't want to hear that kind of thing, because He also wants to talk to you about becoming a responsible son whose heart really is for souls first, your stuff second. Actually, you just forget about your stuff. You go for the souls first, and whatever it is, I'm not telling you all of you need to be evangelists. When I say that, what I mean is find what He's called you to do in the body. You pursue that with all your heart. He said, if you do that, I'll take care of your stuff. Boy, I have found that to be exactly the truth. But you don't find that out with engineers going from this place to that place and putting on all these other tapes. You hear that by getting alone with your teacher and learning how to hear the voice of the new nature. Now, I'm going to use it. He gave me this. Again, before I leave that, let me check here. See, we thought the problem all along was not enough money. He thought the problem was lack of maturity and a heart that really didn't seek first the kingdom. He was looking for mature sons and daughters who would just, that he could trust to handle the inheritance righteously for the kingdom. That's what he's been looking for. Now, why couldn't we hear God about the real answer? Well, we didn't want to hear about correction. And that brings me back to the budgeting class. Everything was great. Everything was rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. While Michael was painting that picture from the Word of God about how, oh, he would quote verses like, through wisdom is a house builded, and through knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious treasures, and by understanding it is established. And he'd draw pictures on the blackboard and we're all, yeah, I want my house established on understanding, built by wisdom, and fill my rooms with treasures. They all liked that part. We had good attendance. Everybody came. Then he started bringing us to accountability. When we hit that, there was a major bump in the road. People started bringing that, and they started seeing where they really were and seeing, oh my God, I'm not only not content with my wages, I'm not content with one Visa card. Okay, now when I say this one, I'm going to say it this way. And I'll preface it by saying, it is not the Lord's will at all for you to do this. But He won't let me get past this example. And we recently had this happen in one of my family members. But you're going to recognize it. Okay, let's say you were to buy a nice used car. And you like the car okay, but you'd really prefer that it have a moonroof and a spoiler. Okay? It's a nice car. You see, well, how much... You know, but what I like on my cars is I like a moonroof and a spoiler, and this one doesn't have one. I'd buy the car if it had a moonroof and a spoiler. So, well, that's no problem. We can put a moonroof and a spoiler on there for you. Well, how much would that cost? Now, number one, you already are going into debt for the car. See? You don't have cash in your pocket to buy this car. That's okay. But now you're asking the question, yeah, but, you know, what I like is a moonroof and a spoiler. There's nothing wrong with liking a moonroof and a spoiler. We're trying, but the Lord wants to make a point here. How much would it cost to add a moonroof and a spoiler? Well, that's $1,000. We'll put that on there for $1,000 for you. Be just like factory new. Okay. Can we just include that in the loan? Because I don't have $1,000. And they'd say, well, now you're willing to go ahead and increase your loan amount, and in order to keep your payment the same, we're going to have to stretch your loan out a little further now. So you will be in debt longer than before. You could have the car without being in debt this extra amount. But if you want the moonroof and the spoiler now, you're going to have to go into debt more. And you say, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. I want to go into debt more for the moonroof and the spoiler. You see, we don't think much about that. Adds 6 more months to the contract, you know. And the Lord asked me. And it's not against, He's not against you having a moonroof and a spoiler. That's not the point. But where is the heart? He says, I wonder how many of them would go $1,000 in debt for Rambo to get another $10,000 saved. Now, even when I say that, He is not asking any of you to do that. That's not, I'm telling you right now, that's not His plan. Can you see the point of the heart, though? See, we don't think much about going into debt for things we want. Just shows you where the heart is. What thumb-sucking, bottle-sucking, diaper-changing babies we are. He loves you. Yeah, He does. This is grow-up time. Can you hear the cry of the Spirit? Grow up, church. Grow up. Now, the neat part about him is if your heart was to the point, now he doesn't want you doing this. Don't you dare leave here and say, Gary Carpenter said you need to borrow money to give into the gospel. You will have to repent, because I did not say that. And I'm not saying that. And I'm not recommending that. But he wants you to be able to locate your own heart. See? Because if we seek first the kingdom, if we're really grown up sons and daughters of God, the number one thing on our heart all the time is the kingdom. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're here on a mission. We're on a mission from God, as the Blues Brothers would say. We're on a mission from God, you know. Where we are. And everything we do is to think with eternity in mind, which means thinking with souls in mind. Where is our heart that we would be willing to sell ourselves in bondage to mammon for an extra 6 months for a moonroof and a spoiler? And it never would even enter our thinking to do something difficult to put more money into the kingdom. To keep the... You know one reason Rambo has to keep coming? And I'm not just... You know, Rambo and Prakash and most of them from these third world countries. You know why they have to keep coming back here? Raise money to go get people saved. Because Americans are too busy with their moonroofs and their spoilers. I'm repenting with you. I already found out if you put first the kingdom, he loves to lavish moonroofs and spoilers on you. The Lord last year, Sue and I set our provision. Listen to the tapes, you know what I mean. We set our provision. God went out of his way. Came in through the back door, through an unexpected way that he gave me no choice, and forced us. He forced us. Didn't leave me an alternative. Had to start driving a 95 Lincoln Town Car. Didn't give me any choice in the matter. Forced me into it. Did it completely through the back door where I had no alternative. Used Pastor Bronk and his church here in Immokalee to do it. And I said, you know, we'd already set our provision, and let me tell you ahead of time, buying a town car was not in it. Had no plans to do that. But see, once we set our heart there, because everything, Lord, what's number one on our heart is souls. Whatever we can do to prosper your kingdom, whatever our part is in this big machine you have called the gospel machine that's harvesting souls, that's where we're going. That's first. Our provision, this is it. We're just going to live on this. Everything else, we're going after souls with it. And boy, just like Matthew 6:33, and all these town cars shall be added unto thee. Paid for. I saw one of those tags one time on a town car and it said, prayed for. I thought that was good. I'm going to get one that says, paid for. Really, you need both. Prayed for and paid for. But the Lord knows how to do it without you having to sell your soul. Or really your body, your time, your life for the next 5, 6, 7 years. There is no lack. I got 9 minutes. Don't do it. All right, now, let me get back to this. If you just get this one point, though, it's worth it today. See, the problem was we kept following our itching ears around listening to various teachers. Gary Carpenter, you know, do know I'm not preaching at you. We're preaching at us. Me too, I was worse than any of you. Because I thought the problem was I needed more money. Now the problem was no restraint, no heart for the kingdom. The real problem, if you want to get simpler than that, was babyhood. Babyhood. It's all about me. Anyway, you did that yesterday. Watching the people's attendance diminish during that budgeting class was a real eye-opener. Why did it? I mean, the attendance, boys, from that point on, weekly, down, down, down. Started with over 100. I don't know if we had, Linda, did we have 25 when it ended? Maybe 30. 70%, roughly. Gone. Why? Well, they did not want to change. If it means self-control, and if it means becoming a disciple, disciple means someone with some discipline. And if I'm going to have to change my lifestyle, then I'm not going to hear it anymore. See, their solution for not hearing it anymore was stop coming to the budgeting class. See, but our solution for not hearing the true voice of God is stop listening to the inner witness and let me just go hear another prosperity message. Because I don't really want to change. I don't want to become a bond slave who bows the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, Master. You are my source. You are my provider. I am content with my wages, whatever you provide me. But I'm telling you, my life, I submit and dedicate my life completely into your hands. Do with me as you will. See, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. But it's that kind of a heart that hears his voice. And he's already speaking that in our hearts. So what we do, rather than hear that kind of thing, we quit listening. We quit listening. The Bible calls that searing your conscience. Searing your conscience. Because your conscience, again, is the voice of your reborn human spirit. It's the number one way he leads us. He leads us all. But when he starts touching those personal things, when we listen and we hear him, we say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. So we just kind of slam the door on the conscience. We open the door to the soul. Let's go to another prosperity meeting. And usually those prosperity meetings mean your prosperity, not the kingdom's. Going to the wrong meetings and listening with the wrong ears. You need to get into your closet and have a meeting with the Holy Ghost. He will communicate with the real ears, where you can start hearing the voice of God. Now, he loves you. He already sent his son. Jesus already shed his blood for you. There is nothing about him condemning you. Do you love your children? Don't you love your children? When you correct them, aren't you trying to help them? He is doing the same thing. He said, listen, your life is only so many, it's a short little vapor. Just your life on this earth, your eternal reward, your whole eternity is based on you tapping in and listening to me during this little short time you're on the earth. Listen to me, child, listen to me. Don't sell your soul for a bigger car. Don't go sell your 5 years of your life. I need you in the kingdom. Souls need to be saved now. Listen to me. Don't sell your soul for more things. Listen to me. I'll prosper you. There's no lack. You have a vast inheritance. I just can't trust in you with it yet. I can't trust you with it. The New Testament says the heir, when he's a child, he really differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. King James, Potawatomi. Okay? Potawatomi version. Every one of you in here is a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even more Potawatomi. You've been given his checkbook and the power of attorney for anything you'll ever need to fulfill your call in this life. There is no lack. But you don't have the pen. You know why? As long as we're children, we differ nothing from a servant, though we be Lord of all. A Rockefeller's child, and I just use that name because everyone associates it with wealth. A little two-year-old son born into the Rockefeller family, is he heir? Does he have a vast inheritance laid up for him? Do they give him the family checkbook and a pen at age 2 years old? Why not? Well, they figure they don't really need, you know, 100,000 baby bottles and play toys. Because that's what he would buy. That's what he wants. Isn't that right? See, you don't give the child the check, the family checkbook with the pen, even though it really belongs to him. But when the child grows up and you train him, and this one's willing to... See, even when that child becomes of age, if he was unruly, never would listen, you're only going to give him very limited access to his inheritance, because you know he's just going to blow it on loose women and fast cars. You know, isn't that right? I mean, he's still your kid. You love him, but you just know he's just going to squander the inheritance. You don't give him full access, even though now he's of age. But inside, he's not of age. Well, that's us. That's the body of Christ today. We have an unlimited, inexhaustible inheritance. I'm talking financially. Was you here yesterday? The gold is mine. The silver is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, saith Jesus Christ. And it is it not? He's just trying to get us to grow up. Now, I'll close with this. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12:5. While you're going there, I'll just mention a couple of things. I'll tell you right now that the problem hearing God 99.9% of the time is a seared conscience. And when I saw this, I started praying several years ago. I said, Lord, heal my conscience in the areas where I have seared it. Lord, if I've seared my conscience, I can't even hear you through there anymore. But you're a healer, Jesus. I'm asking you where I've seared my conscience and calluses have formed and I can't even hear you anymore. You're my healer, Jesus. Heal my conscience. Give me a chance again to hear your voice. Some places maybe I've ignored you and shut that door for 20 years. Give me another chance. Heal that in me. Let me hear you again. Give me the strength to obey you, which really he already has by the new nature. That's a good prayer if you want to start hearing God. Heal my conscience where I have seared it. Make it tender again, where I can hear you again. Give me another chance. He is the God of another chance, I'll tell you. Hebrews 12:5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now see, in that budgeting class, 70% fainted at the rebuke. 70%. He's going, listen, I can't give you access to the family wealth, even though you're an heir, until you deal with lasciviousness in your life. No restraint is the problem, son. Listen, let's start bringing an end to this cycle. Do this budgeting thing. Start getting some restraint on that old flesh nature. Let your spirit man rise up and start having some dominion here. But most fainted at that rebuke. And faced with the obvious choice, oh my God, I may have to cut out my cable TV. Ow! This is persecution beyond what anyone can bear. Ow! I'm not coming to that class anymore. I'm going to another prosperity seminar because my problem is not enough money. It's exactly what happened. Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. He's just trying to deal with the part of us that's keeping you from the inheritance. He's trying to give it to us all. Jesus paid the price for us to have it. He'd love for us to have it for the kingdom. And boy, once your heart is there, that's when He can trust you with the material things because they won't take you out anymore. Good friend of mine, when we bought the car, he was all excited. Heard about us buying the town car. And he come over and oohing and on and everything. And I'm going, it's just a car. And see, I'm not trying to be humble when I say that. It's just a car. The reason we got the town car, we're going to be traveling, and at age 53, I need something that doesn't bounce my back all over the place, please. You know, after 25 years bent over troweling concrete and 6 years driving trucks, I have mercy and grace for my back. That's the reason. It's a tool for me. You know, we've already given away several cars and trucks whenever He told me to. It doesn't mean a thing. I know who my car provider is. Okay? I know where I can get more cars than I could possibly use. Anyway. Smith Wigglesworth, see this, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Here's how Smith Wigglesworth said that. Same thing. This is the Wigglesworth translation or interpretation of Hebrews 12:5. He said, quote, the filthy acts, see, I was nicer than that. The filthy acts of the self-life have to be dealt with. And men cannot always stand the purging. Faint not when thou art rebuked of him. Let's all pray that conscience prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, forgive me for having itching ears to hear just what I wanted in my soul. Lord, I want to hear you, the real you, in my heart. Heal my conscience. Everywhere that I've seared it. Jesus, you're my healer. Heal my conscience. Give me another chance to hear your voice in the part of me where you teach me, where you lead me. I ask forgiveness for hardening my heart against your voice. With all the strength I have and leaning on your strength, my promise is I will not faint when you correct me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.